The Catra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Catra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're diving into a book that, well, it really reshaped a lot of modern thinking, both corporate and personal. Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
It really did. It's probably still one of the most influential books on personal leadership out there, even after all these years. And what's so interesting, I think, is that people often see it as a business book.
Right, management section.
Exactly. But the core message, it's actually deeply philosophical, isn't it?
Absolutely. You see the title, you think, okay, productivity tips, maybe some life hacks. But this book, it goes much deeper. It's about fundamentally changing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today is really to give you the blueprint for understanding why Covey's framework still holds up, why it's timeless, and it focuses on character, you know, over those quick fixes.
And it all started because Covey was trying to answer this really profound question. Why do people who seem successful on the outside, why do they often feel kind of empty inside?
Yeah, the disconnect.
That disconnect, exactly. Why doesn't that surface level success always lead to like real fulfillment?
And Covey's big insight was that these people were often focusing on the techniques, what he later called the personality ethic, but they were neglecting the underlying beliefs, their character, the character ethic.
Right. Which brings us to the man himself, Stephen R. Covey. He lived from 1932 to 2012. Quite the background MBA from Harvard, a PhD from BYU.
And not just academic. He spent years consulting, right? With major companies, Fortune 500.
Extensive experience. But what really set his work apart, I think, was this massive research project he undertook. He studied 200 years of American success literature, two centuries worth.
Wow. And what did he find?
He found this really clear turning point. Before World War I, the literature, it overwhelmingly emphasized what he called the character ethic.
So things like integrity, humility.
That's exactly. Justice, patience, courage. The core virtues. Success was basically defined by who you were fundamentally.
Okay.
But then, somewhere after WWI, things shifted dramatically. The focus moved to the personality ethic.
Which is more about?
Public image, social skills, yeah. Techniques, you know, having a positive attitude, quick fixes. It became about how you appeared much more than who you actually were.
Interesting. So it moved from substance to image in a way.
Precisely. And Covey's argument was basically that while those personality ethic techniques might give you short-term results, maybe help you climb a ladder, True sustainable effectiveness, the kind that leads to fulfillment, that comes from aligning your actions with timeless universal principles. And the 7 habits, well, that's his roadmap for getting back to that character ethic foundation.
Okay, so if effectiveness is the goal, he gives us a way to think about it, right? This
yeah.
PPC balance thing.
Yes, exactly. It's crucial. Effectiveness isn't just about pea production, the results, the output you get.
Like the golden eggs.
Right, the golden eggs from the fable. Oh. It has to be balanced with PC, production capability.
Mm-hmm.
Maintaining the asset, the thing that produces the results.
The goose.
The goose. If you just focus on getting more eggs, pushing harder, cutting corners, you eventually kill the goose. No more eggs.
That makes so much sense. And it applies everywhere, doesn't it? Like, P is the grade on a test. PC is actually learning the material.
Or P is finishing a project on time. PC is not burning out your team in the process.
Right. P is the quarterly bonus. PC is your own health and well-being. You have to nurture the goose.
You have to. If you constantly just withdraw from the PC, the whole system eventually breaks down. It's all about that balance.
And achieving that balance, Covey says, is a journey. The maturity continuum.
Mm-hmm. A developmental path. It moves through three stages sequentially. Can't really skip steps.
Okay, let's unpack that. So you start at dependence. Like a child, you rely on others. The paradigm is you.
Right. Then the goal is to move towards independence, self-reliance, self-mastery. The paradigm of I.
And that's achieved through what he calls the private victory. Habits 1, 2, and 3. Getting your own house in order first.
Exactly. But independence isn't the final destination. The highest level is interdependence.
The we paradigm.
The we paradigm. Working together, collaboration, realizing that we can achieve more together than alone. And that's the public victory habits 4, 5, and 6.
And then there's one more.
Habit 7, sharpen the saw, which is about renewal, keeping the whole system going. It kind of wraps around everything else.
It really is like a complete operating system for life, isn't it?
It aims to be. So let's dig into the private victory first, because like you said, you need that foundation. Habit 1, be proactive.
Okay, so this isn't just about, like, taking initiative.
It's deeper than that. It's about taking responsibility for your life, recognizing that you choose your responses. Reactive people, they're driven by feelings, circumstances, conditions.
Blaming the traffic, the weather, their boss.
Right. Covey talks about this crucial space between stimulus and response. In that space lies our freedom, our power to choose how we react based on our values, not just our impulses.
And he uses that model of the circles, right? Influence and concern?
Yes, there's a circle of influence versus the circle of concern. It's such a practical tool. Your circle of concern includes everything you worry about, but can't directly control global events, other people's opinions, the past.
All that stuff that keeps you up at night.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Your circle of influence, though, that's where you can make a difference. Your choices, your attitude, your skills, how you treat people.
And proactive people focus their energy there.
Exactly. They work on the things they can change. And the interesting thing is, as they do that, their circle of influence actually starts to expand. Reactive people focus on the circle of concern, feel victimized, and their influence shrinks.
That's powerful. Okay, so you take responsibility, you choose your response, then what?
Then you need direction, which leads directly to habit two. Begin with the end in mind. The funeral exercise. Yeah, it sounds a bit morbid, but it's incredibly clarifying. What do you want people to say about you at the end of your life? What really matters?
It forces you to define your core values, your personal mission statement. It's about mental creation before physical creation. You need the blueprint before you start building the house.
If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, right? But it might not be where you wanted to end up. Habit two is about designing your destination based on your deepest values.
Okay, mission defined, values clear. Now, how do you actually do it day to day?
That's habit three. Put first things first. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's about personal management, living out habit two.
And this is where the famous time management matrix comes in.
Exactly. The four quadrants based on urgency and importance. Quadrant four, it is urgent and important crises, deadlines. Quadrant third is urgent, but not important. Many interruptions, some meetings.
Things that scream for attention but don't really move the needle on your goals.
Precisely. And quadrant fourth is not urgent and not important time wasters. Most people bounce between I and three, living in reaction mode.
So where should we be aiming?
Quadrant two. Important, but not urgent. This is the heart of effective management. Things like planning, prevention, relationship building, learning, exercise.
The stuff that builds your future but doesn't usually scream at you.
Right. It requires proactivity, habit one, and a clear sense of purpose, habit two, to spend time here consistently.
He uses that analogy of the big rocks, doesn't he?
Yes, it's brilliant. Imagine you have a jar, some big rocks, some pebbles, and some sand. If you put the sand and pebbles in first, the big rocks won't fit.
But if you put the big rocks, your quadrant two priorities in first.
Then the pebbles and sand can fill in the spaces around them. You have to schedule your most important things first, not try to squeeze them in around the urgent but less important stuff.
So that's the private victory. Proactive, begin with the end in mind, put first things first, you've mastered yourself. Now you're ready for
the public victory, dealing effectively with others. And this starts with habit four, think win-win.
This isn't just about being nice, though, is it?
Not at all. It's a mindset, a philosophy for human interaction. It says there's enough success to go around. It rejects win-lose. I win, you lose. Lose-win, I lose, you win, being a doormat.
Yeah.
And lose-lose, if I can't win, neither can you.
It's about seeking mutual benefit in all agreements and solutions.
Yes. And if you genuinely can't find a solution where both parties feel good about it, Covey says the best option might be win-win or no deal.
Ah, so sometimes walking away is the win-win move if a true mutual benefit isn't possible.
Exactly. It preserves the relationship and integrity rather than forcing a bad compromise.
Yeah.
It requires maturity and courage, which builds on the private victory.
Okay, win-win mindset. What's needed to actually achieve that with people?
That brings us to probably one of the most profound habits, habit five. Seek first to understand, then to be understood.
This one sounds simple, but it's hard in practice.
Oh, incredibly hard. Most of us don't listen with the intent to understand. We listen with the intent to reply. We're formulating our response while the other person is still talking.
Guilty as charged.
We all are, sometimes. Covey pushes for empathic listening. Really trying to see the world from the other person's perspective, understanding their feelings, their frame of reference, before you even think about presenting your own case.
Listening with your ears, eyes, and heart, he says.
Yes. And doing this, truly understanding someone, is the single biggest deposit you can make into what he calls the emotional bank account.
The EBA. like the trust level in a relationship.
Exactly. Small courtesies, keeping promises, apologizing sincerely, those are deposits. Being disrespectful, breaking trust, interrupting, those are withdrawals. You need a high balance to weather disagreements or mistakes.
He tells that story, the man on the subway.
Ah, yes. Powerful illustration. Cubby's on the subway. These kids are running wild, making noise, bothering everyone. Their father's just sitting there, seemingly oblivious.
And Cubby gets annoyed, finally says something like, "Can't you control your children?"
Right. And the father looks up, kind of dazed, and says something like, "Oh, you're right. I guess I should do something about it. We just came from the hospital where their mother died about an hour ago. I don't know what to think, and I guess they don't know how to handle it either."
Oof. Instant paradigm shift.
Completely. From judgment and irritation to sudden, deep compassion and understanding, it just shows how quickly our perspective can change when we actually understand the situation from the other side.
Wow. Okay, so if you have that high trust, that deep understanding, what does that enable?
It enables habit 6, synergize. This is the peak, really. Creative cooperation.
So synergy is like the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Precisely. 1 + 1 = 3 or 10 or 100. It's about valuing differences, truly valuing them, not just tolerating them.
Using those different perspectives from habit 5 and the win-win approach, habit 4, to create something new, something better than any one person could have come up with alone.
Yes. It requires high trust, a big EBA balance, and a genuine belief that differences enrich the outcome. It's about finding that third alternative that wasn't obvious before.
Okay, so pulling back from the individual habits, what are some of the big overarching themes here?
Well, the first absolutely fundamental one is the inside-out approach.
Meaning change starts within.
Exactly. You can't achieve lasting external change, better relationships, better results, without first changing your internal paradigms, your mental maps, your beliefs, your character. Trying to change behavior without changing the paradigm is like trying to find your way around Chicago using a map of Detroit.
It just won't work long term.
Right. The second big theme is principles as natural laws. Covey insists that the habits are based on universal, timeless principles: fairness, integrity, honesty, human dignity.
Things that are true whether we believe them or not.
Kind of like gravity, yeah. He says you don't break these laws, you break yourself against them when you violate them. Effectiveness comes from aligning with these principles.
Makes sense. And a third theme.
The abundance mentality versus scarcity mentality. We touched on this with win-win.
Right. The belief that there's enough for everyone.
Yes. An abundance mentality sees success, credit, resources as plentiful. It allows for collaboration and celebrating others' wins. The scarcity mentality sees life as a zero-sum game.
If you win, I must lose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that mentality makes true synergy and win-win impossible. It breeds competition and defensiveness, not cooperation. Public victory really requires believing there's enough pie for everyone.
It's amazing how many of Covey's phrases have just become part of the language, you know?
Absolutely. They're so sticky because they capture profound ideas so concisely.
Like, begin with the end in mind. We talked about that it's having that personal mission, that blueprint before you act, mental creation first.
Crucial. And then there's private victory precedes public victory.
Yeah, that's sequential nature. You can't really build strong, interdependent relationships if your own foundation, your proactivity, your purpose, your priorities isn't solid.
It highlights the importance of self-mastery first. You have to get yourself right before you can effectively work with others.
And maybe the most fundamental one. Between stimulus and response, man has the freedom to choose.
That's the bedrock, isn't it? That space where our growth happens, where we exercise our proactivity, it counters victim thinking completely.
So how can people start applying some of this, like, tomorrow?
Well, for relationships, the emotional bank account is super practical. Start being conscious of making small, consistent deposits.
Like?
Saying thank you sincerely, listening without interrupting, keeping small promises, apologizing when you mess up. These little things build huge reserves of trust over time.
Okay, that's doable. What about for personal growth?
Habit 7, sharpen the saw. It sounds simple, but it's easily neglected. You have to schedule time for renewal across the 4 dimensions he identifies.
All right, the 4 areas. Physical exercise, nutrition, rest, mental reading, learning, planning.
Spiritual connecting with your values, meditation, time in nature, whatever that means for you. And social-emotional building relationships, service, empathy.
If you don't actively renew yourself in all these areas, you're basically violating that PPC balance, right? You're wearing down the asset yourself.
Exactly. You burn out. Sharpening the saw isn't a luxury. It's essential for long-term effectiveness and everything else.
So, reflecting on this whole framework,
Yeah.
what's a final takeaway for you?
For me, it really circles back to habit too, begin with the end in mind. If you don't consciously define your own end, your own mission and values, you'll inevitably end up living out someone else's script or just reacting to whatever feels most urgent.
Yeah, you default to quadrant I and the third living.
Right. Defining your why is the only way to truly prioritize the important stuff in quadrant two.
And for me, I think the big surprise looking back was realizing that independence isn't the ultimate goal. I think culturally, especially, we often champion independence being self-made.
The rugged individual.
Yeah. But Covey makes such a strong case that independence is really just a necessary step towards the higher goal of interdependence, realizing that the greatest achievements, the deepest fulfillment, often come from working effectively with others.
That we paradigm.
Exactly. And maybe the challenge Covey leaves us all with is that question. Are my deepest values, my principles, actually driving my schedule day to day? Or am I just letting urgency run the show?
A tough question to answer, honestly, sometimes.
It really is. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.